our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, giving again today the testimony of John Barger, who learned to love his wife, a wife with whom he had not lived in harmony and peace for a number of years, a man who had 7 children. Listen as I continue with his story. I must limit myself to speaking of our life together as it relates to male spirituality, and specifically as it relates to how we men should bear ourselves toward women, especially our wives. Although I'm really quite shy, I've told you these details of my own life to serve for you as a promise and a warning. I was very lucky, or perhaps I was singled out to have a special gift bestowed upon me so that I could tell others about it. 7 children, and my wife just dead. She had died of cancer, in case you were not listening yesterday. How can I speak of gifts? It's not because I myself am particularly saintly. I'm not. But even a sinner like me would have to be blind not to see the goodness that came out of the tragedies of the last few years. Remember the first part of my story, the horrible estrangement that existed between Susan and me. I was given the incredible gift of circumstances, grace, and time to overcome that estrangement. 4 short years in the midst of many painful tragedies and intense personal suffering. Time to repair that breach between us, to become my wife's best friend. Time to win her confidence so that she could rest in the shelter of my love when her disease was diagnosed, and nestle closer to me spiritually as each dreadful day went by. That is a priceless gift, time and desire and patience and grace to learn to love one's wife properly, to have her learn to accept it in absolute simplicity and trust, to have her permit me to suffer her cancer and death with her. It was the greatest joy I have ever experienced. Let me put in a parenthesis here. This is a talk that John Barger gave to a group of men. He goes on to say, I know only a few of you here today. Therefore, as I conclude by asking a number of questions, you mustn't think that I am singling you out because of something I know about you personally or about how you treat your family. Please ask these questions of yourselves as I ask them of myself. This morning, as you pray with us for holiness, how close are you to your wife and family? Remember Joseph and the little family entrusted to him, how he loved them tenderly without ceasing to be a man. Remember your children and your wife, who need you desperately, for you are the strongest among them. Carry home with you this question: how close am I to my wife and family? And are there things I can do to become closer? Am I too caught up in the urgent tasks of my life to perform the important ones of caring for those who are my particular responsibility, my wife and my children? Finally, let me leave you with another question, but one that I will answer for you. I indicated earlier that my remarks would be relevant not merely to your relations with women, and in particular to your relations with your wife, but also to your relations with the rest of your family, with other people, and ultimately with God Himself. Let me now show why that's so. Consider the virtues I have recommended as necessary to a deep relation with your wife: patience, listening, humility, service, and faithful, tender love. There might be a man listening who would like to write that down, so I'm going to give you that list again. The qualities, the virtues necessary to a deep relation with your wife: patience, listening, humility, service, faithful, tender love. patience, listening, humility, service, and faithful, tender love. He goes on to say, I hope it is not heretical for me to claim that in his dealings with us, God acts in many ways like a woman. Women are capable of and sometimes commit magnificent acts that manifest incredible power and awaken in us men a profound awe, if not fear and trembling. Yet when they love quietly. They speak, as it were, in whispers, and we have to listen carefully, attentively, to hear their words of love and to know them. Isn't God also this way? Doesn't he intervene in most of our lives in whispers, which we miss if we fail to recollect ourselves and pay careful attention? If we do not constantly strive to hear those whispers of divine love? The virtues necessary in truly loving a woman and having that love returned, the virtues of listening, patience, humility, service, and faithful love are the very virtues necessary for us to love God and to feel his love returned. As we cannot lord it over women if we are to know them and grow intimate with them, so we cannot lord it over God if we are to know him and grow intimate with him. We cannot successfully demand the love of a woman or the love of God. We have to wait. And just as a woman's heart is melted when she encounters in us weakness accompanied by our humble admission of it, so God's heart is melted, and he is most tender and gracious to us when he encounters in us weakness accompanied by our humble admission of it. Must I therefore allege that the God whom we call Father is feminine? No. Rather, I claim that we have falsely identified masculinity with coldness, power, and remoteness. A good father, and God is preeminently the good father, bears his authority and power with love and tenderness. This is true masculinity. Masculinity which has the strength, courage, and will to shelter the weak against the most powerful forces of evil, but which does not use its power to hurt those it should protect. This morning I have briefly considered relations between men and women, between parents and children, and between humans and God. But my points can be extended to all persons, divine or human, in their relations with each other. Although the relations between human persons and between human persons and God take many forms, at the heart of each of these encounters there is only one question that is always asked, sometimes explicitly, but always implicitly, and which is in fact the only important question that persons, whether human or divine, ever ask each other. Do you love me? Daily, your wife asks you that question in her looks, in her actions, perhaps in her words. So do your children. Daddy, do you love me? And daily, we ask it of them. Daily, in our discouragement or despair, and perhaps in our hopes, we ask God, do you love me? Do you really love me? Daily, God asks us, do you love me? That one question is at the heart of all relations between persons, divine or human. It is the only important question that persons ever ask each other. And regardless of who is asking it, you, me, your wife, your child, God himself, and regardless of who is answering it, there is really only one satisfactory answer. Yes, I love you. Yes, my beloved wife, I love you. Yes, my dear child, I love you. Yes, my Jesus, I love you. I was very fortunate in learning this before it was too late. I was blessed in having discovered that "Do you love me?" was really the question that Susan was asking me all those years. Blessed these past few years in having the time and opportunity to give Susan the right answer while she could still hear it. Blessed in discovering that this is the question that my children are asking me this very morning and every other morning. And I was blessed in learning to hope and to pray that in my words and in my actions I may answer this question, yes and yes and yes again, until finally I may lie down to take my rest next to Susan, embraced fully by God's tender, eternal love. And that then, despite my sinfulness, I may finally be able to hear him say to me too that divine yes, which you and I most secretly long to hear. Yes, John, I love you. Yes, all you poor, suffering souls, whoever you are and wherever you are, I love you. Finally, I pray that you, my wife, my children, our friends, our benefactors, and even our enemies may at last be joined together in one eternal, resplendent, divinely echoing, yes, 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 I love you.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.